Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished reputation management guru from Gurgaon, India, Mr. Amit Prabhu. Amit, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Amit is the founder of the Promise Foundation. He's an author, and all of you know, I am very partial to authors. He's a co-author of a book titled The Pursuit of Reputation, and Amit has been recognized and felicitated several times. So Amit, before we start talking about PR and reputation management, tell me about your journey in brief.
So while you introduced me saying I live in Gurgaon, that's been my home for 10 years as of this month, and I moved here in November 2013. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a small town in Karnataka called Mangalore. I spent almost the entire years of schooling and college in Mangalore. I left Mangalore at the age of 21 to pursue my master's in Pune. And then there was no looking back. I only go to Mangalore now to spend a day with my father every month. And he's the only person I have there and a few friends. But my life has been all over the country and outside as well. So after I spent about close to 10 years working in PR post my master's program in Gurgaon, Bangalore and Mumbai, I got lucky to get a stint to work with the world's largest PR firm, Edelman, in their Chicago office exactly 12 years ago. I spent two fascinating years there, traveled most of the United States in that time I was there, and came back to Gurgaon in November 2013 to actually build a bunch of things for the Indian communications fraternity and the PR world in India in different ways, one thing at a time in the initial years. So it's been 10 years in Gurgaon, and in the last 10 years, I've built what has now become one of the world's largest gathering of PR professionals annually called Praxis. There are three sub-conferences that happen in Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore called Quorum, Reprise and Spectra. I run a magazine for PR professionals, which moved largely to digital in the pandemic from being a print magazine. It's called Reputation Today. We run an awards program, which is a very robust program for the PR world called Fulcrum. I recently launched a giving back venture called Sparkle Gift Cards. That's the only thing I'm doing that is not PR centric but open to all, and I like to talk about that everywhere. It's a quick brief introduction. Sparkle Gift Cards is solving the problem of giving people random gifts like wine bottles, flowers and chocolate boxes when there are occasions. We partnered with 10 leading Indian NGOs and brought in this new element. It's called a card like this. So when I'm coming to your home to give you a for an occasion and give you a gift, instead of flowers or chocolates or wine bottles, I'm giving you this, and the entire money I pay goes to 10 charities. And you as a recipient have a choice to go online, use a serial number and choose one of the 10 charities from that list that all the money should go to. Amazing. If you don't do that in 3 weeks, the money goes to all equally any which way. So I'm working on that as my next venture in the days to come, completely to give back to society in a Fantastic. Small way.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. And, I'm sure this Sparkle Gift Cask will be something which a lot of our viewers and listeners will be interested in. I'm going to check it myself. But I mean, let's now move on and talk about public relations and reputation management. My first question to you is, how does reputation management differ from public relations? Why are these important today?
Okay. I've come to believe in 20 years of working in this field that they're almost like synonyms. I feel public relations is equal to reputation management and they're interchangeably used many times by many people. In simple terms, public relations is a very generic word and more an art. The science of public relations is more reputation management. So today, every organization, every entity, be it a living brand, a living person, and your show is called The Brand Called You, be it a product or a service, everybody needs reputation. Even a young child in school or college needs to have a good reputation with his or her own parents to be able to get that extra bit of pocket money to splurge and spend, right? When we were growing up in the 70s, 80s, 90s, pocket money was not a common thing at that time because we asked parents for some spending money. If they could afford it, they gave it to us. But today, even a youngster needs to ask their money to go party, go have fun, and he or she needs to have a reputation with his parents. So therefore, I feel public relations and reputation management are synonyms in more ways than one. It's nothing but how a entity presents itself to its stakeholders in order to gain benefits of different kinds. So whether it's a car brand today that wants to make sure a car purchaser or a car buyer thinks of their car brand as the most safe car for his or her family when buying one, or the car brand that is easy to service and maintain in the future, those things only come through communications that is done using various tools, sometimes awareness, sometimes advertising, but usually the word of mouth, the kind of messages that translate from one to another using various mediums today in the digital world. So in simple terms, any perception that we have of a specific product, brand, service is the reputation we carry for that brand, service in the future. And that is built using various tools, which is what we call public relations.
Well said. And Amit, what are some of the common mistakes a lot of businesses or individuals make when it comes to handling reputation or a crisis?
Thanks for asking that question. I think the primary mistake that people make is not having good behavior. All problems, all crisis stems from lack of good behavior. When companies behave well and individuals who run their company behave well, there is no chance for mistakes that are self-inflicted. You can have mistakes that are not in your control that come from outside. But most come, and if you take any example, let's take the example of Kingfisher Airlines, a great brand in the early 2000s, which just died sadly because of the mistakes some of the leaders in their company or one of the leaders made by going extravagant, splurging, using money from here for something else and vice versa. And the brand lost its entire reputation it built very, very carefully in the initial years, right? So I say reputation or public relations is 90% behavior.
Right.
10% how we communicate that behavior to the world. And this is not my definition. I read it, I learned it 15, 20 years back at a conference I went to. I can't remember who the speaker was, but I've used that for my life to tell others that reputation is about behavior. Mm. If we behave right and behave well, our reputation precedes us. And there's another interesting sentence that says, take care of your character and your reputation takes care of itself. And that applies to individuals, to organizations, to brands, product services in all ways today. If that product is offering a good quality to the customer that is buying the product and is value for money as well in many ways, that product builds a reputation of its own that lasts a long time.
Mm, what a great response. Thank you. And, you know, you gave a fantastic example of Kingfisher. But for my viewers and listeners, can you give me one or two more examples where of a successful PR and reputation management situation where you were able to step in and help?
I'll talk about what I step in and help next. But first, I'll talk of the famous brand Maggie from Nestle.
Yeah.
We saw what Maggie went through about 7-8 years back. It was one report somewhere that said, oh, Maggie has lead content more than required in a food product. And overnight, the brand had to shut shop. It had 90% market share, went to 0% and regained the market share when it came back. And I credit that largely to the current chairman and managing director who I've met a couple of times, Mr. Suresh Narayanan. He came back from Philippines where he was working with Nestle and the Indian CEO moved back to Switzerland. All happened overnight. And he did a bunch of things that made people believe in that brand. And today that brand is still loved by people who otherwise were from a different generation completely and didn't have that affinity with Maggie like we did who grew up in the 80s and 90s, right? So Maggie is an example. If one Googles Nestle, Maggie, India, there are numerous case studies of what that brand did. But in simple terms, they began to tell people that they were a safe brand in many different ways. And people began to believe them overnight. The cool thing was nobody ever died in this world or in this country because of Maggie consumption.
Correct.
So people felt safe about it. And when it came back, people who missed it, longed for it, got back to it. That is one example. In my case, many years back, almost 20 years back, there was a brand called Hutch, which is Vodafone now. And I began my PR career in Gurgaon working with a PR firm which dealt with Hutch as their main client. And Hutch had a peculiar challenge. Hutch was the third or fourth brand in the market wherever it stepped into. The first brand was BSNL, then there was Airtel, and there was another brand in many markets. Hutch was the fourth brand. And it was finding it hard to penetrate. And a lot of media who would write about brands were already used to a BSNL or an Airtel connection. For them, Hutch was not a connection of choice at all. So there was a lot of aversion and pushback. And Hutch had multiple connotations. It came from Lee Ka-shing's Hutchison Whampoa. It had a Chinese Hong Kong background to it. People were more used to a homegrown brand called Airtel. So penetrating and making that niche for itself took a lot of time. So two things happened. One was Hutch said, we won't go the normal route. We'll use communications of a different kind. We'll use theater and get people who love theater. So in three big cities, Delhi, Bombay, Bangalore, and then Calcutta, they partnered with big theater groups to make theater a way of life. So almost 2 months in the year, they had theater festivals that they supported, allowed people to come and experience theater, which never had happened before that, and made people love the brand for enabling a theater kind of an experience. That was one example of things in peacetime. Again, the challenges Hutch had was when Hutch was launching, a new set of articles began to pop up in media, in blogs, saying these mobile towers are bad for health, they cause cancer. And there was no proper research anywhere in the world that created that feeling. So wherever Hutch was trying to get new users to join, those users were exposed to this article saying mobile towers cause cancer, therefore mobiles can be detrimental to health. And Hutch had to fight that. So they did that in different ways, educating media to convey to their readers that a mobile tower doesn't cause cancer. And these are crises and challenges we faced. And luckily, a lot of it didn't come out in the public domain, because I think the team I worked with handled it very well at that time and managed to help all mobile brands survive this little onslaught of mobile towers being unsafe coming their way. So these are two examples I have. There's another example which I could share, but it's a longer one. So maybe for another day.
But let's keep moving on. My next question is that, you know, from in the last 25 odd years that you've been in this business, PR has changed dramatically.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, what is the significance of social media when it comes to public relations and reputation management?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So 20 years back, when social media was not at all an option we had, we began that option maybe in the mid-2000s with Orkut, and then Facebook and then LinkedIn popularized itself. There are three things that happened. Either we saw live TV news, and live TV news channels had begun to mushroom in the early 2000s with NDTV and Doordarshan having news-focused channels. So we either saw that news whenever we had free time at home, or as a family, in the nights, we put on one TV show at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. and watch TV news. And then we went to bed, and next day morning, we saw the newspaper to get detailed news of what happened overnight or in the next few hours and in the previous day. And we had that as a pattern or a habit. But today, in real time, we are seeing news. When a bomb blast takes place at 8 a.m., you don't wait for the 1 p.m. news or 9 p.m. news to get news. It happens real time on Twitter. For example, an earthquake happened in Nepal a couple of days ago, and there were tremors in Delhi. Back in the day, we would feel, okay, is there a tremor, and wait for the news to tell us that. But today on social media, on Twitter, you immediately see these news things coming out openly. So I say with social media, you can make or break a brand in minutes. Back in the day, a brand could only be broken if many TV channels or many newspapers carried negative news on the brand. But today, if one customer says this airline is brand, 10 other customers say, yes, I experienced the same bad treatment from this airline in the last 1 week, and they all gang up unknowingly in an unplanned way against that airline. People who see that say, oh my God, I should not go on this airline in the next few days. Same happens to a product, maybe a mobile phone brand. If somebody saying, oh, this mobile phone of mine is heating up and I don't feel safe using it, and they mention the brand name, others join and say, oh, I have the same problem with my mobile phone and I think it's unsafe. So today in real time, strangers come together on social media to exchange notes about brands, about products, and make or break a brand. Or the opposite happens as well. People say, wow, I love this restaurant, or I love this this new gadget I purchased. And then 10 people are joining and saying, yes, I love it too. And more people say, wow, I want to. So I think social media is helping make or break brands in real time, with strangers coming together to share their thoughts, which didn't happen 15, 20 years ago. So brands have to be very careful. And my advice to any person listening to this who runs a brand, he or she should be present on social media himself, be able to read in real time what's going on, and also articulate and respond to these if they can in real time. And some CEOs do that very well. Some CEOs choose to ignore that. I think it's not an option in 2023 and beyond for chief executives of companies to not be present on social media as officials of the company and respond in real time.
Very interesting. My next question, Amit, is on ethics. And the question is that when it comes to ethical considerations, how do you prioritize the interest of the client versus what may be potential gains versus what is ethically correct?
Right. I was lucky to start my career 20 years ago with a PR firm that stood highly on ethics, and the world and knew about its ethical standards. The principal, the founder, was known for her ethics. And I can mention the name of the company also in a moment or two. And we were told one thing, that if a client doesn't stand for ethical conduct, we will sign out of that client immediately. And there were examples. Every 4 months, a client would say, we would say bye to a client because a client somewhere crossed the line and had some ethical transgressions that were not in order. And there are PR firms that say, I don't care, as long as I'm getting my money in white and the client is doing its wrong things, I'll do that because that's business. And it's same goes for lawyers, right? A lawyer is bound to accept a case of a client that he or she feels he can defend. And therefore, every human being has the right to find a lawyer to fight their case when they have wrong. So in some way, if you're referring to PR, the like lawyers fight in the court of law, PR fights cases for their brands in the court of public opinion. I mean, that's the thin difference.
Yeah.
So a PR firm has two choices. One is to say, I will not do something unethical, but if my client is doing something unethical, but I'm going to just tell the world that the client has a great product and great brand and great service, use it. That's one choice. Or the second choice, a PR firm says, no, if the client's product is great, but the person running the show is unethical, I will not work with him or her. It's a choice they make. And that applies in any field, not just in PR. Even if you're an engineer or doctor, a lawyer, you have those choices that come your way, and you have to make those choices carefully and be aware that those choices will have short-term, mid-term, and long-term impact on the business you do. So that's my ethical consideration thinking, that I as a person will never want to deal with companies that have publicly shown ethical problems. And yes, I've been called out a couple of times for having a sponsor from a PR firm from one of my event who didn't treat his or her employees right. So I've gone to a couple of those firms in the past and said, unless you prove to me that you're treating them right, I will not take a sponsorship amount from you, which means a lot to me, but I would not. And they corrected themselves and worked on doing it right in some way or the other. So these are personal choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And well said. My next question is on technology and future trends. I wanted to ask you, how is technology changing reputation management? And what are some of the trends you foresee in the next few years?
Right. And this is a question that is being asked and talked of all the time in the last couple of years with the entire emerging tools from the AI world, from machine learning, and now we have ChatGPT and other things that are happening as well. But I think for the longest time, technology has always been evolving. So when PR as a profession began in the 50s and 60s in the US and the 80s and 90s in India, people had only fax machines then, and everything happened with fax machines or landline telephones. And then the technology evolved to have pagers and mobile phones that came in, and fax machines took a backseat. People said, oh my God, technology is evolving. What will happen in the future? And what happened, we saw mobile phones. Then as the mobile phones began to gain ground and people would send faxes and snail mails, people began to use emails in a big way.
Yeah.
Press releases went to journalists with emails and people said, oh my God, what's happening? Technology is changing. And nothing happened. Nothing changed drastically. People's lives became easier. I believe that AI and modern technology will only make lives easier. But given the rise of these technologies and rapid changes, it'll make life easier to people who are sharp and smart. Sharp and smart people will be able to embrace these technologies and do things better. Those who choose to be mediocre or lazy or not sharp and smart will lose out in the long term. They'll struggle. They won't be able to have a great lifestyle in the future. The last 20 years, people with mediocre ways of doing things managed to still get away and have a certain lifestyle they could afford because a lot of work was still done by human hands. Today, companies are becoming smarter. They're saying, instead of having four people in my team, I'll have two smart people and lay off the other two. These two will help get help from machine learning and AI to build content, build other things that they need and still be there. I don't think people will be eliminated completely, but the number of people will be reduced to a good extent in the future. So my, again, guidance to younger people is, embrace these technologies, be sharp and smart. Don't choose mediocrity and laziness, which could have been a way in the 90s and 2000s in some measure for some people, but that can't be the way in the future.
Wow. Well said. One more question, and then I want to talk about your book. When I was reading about you, you said you seek a career in political communication management in the future. How does this differ from what you are doing today? In terms of, I mean, why do you think political communication is different from reputation management or PR?
No. So reputation management, PR is general. It can be applied to business, to politics, to NGOs. Political communication is a very niche field within that, which is helping governments, helping political parties, helping politicians manage their public relations, their outreach, which is largely communication focused. And I tell people, the foundation of reputation management or PR is four C's. It's communications, it's common sense, it's culture and campaigns. So these are four C's that build the foundation of PR. And then that is built over other pillars, which we can talk of if time permits in a moment or two when my book topic comes up. I feel politicians today are becoming savvier. Politicians are embracing social media, digital marketing more than ever before. And I give credit largely globally to Barack Obama, who 15 years back ran an entire campaign to become the US president using the power of social media. And then at that time, one Indian politician who had come back from the US, Shashi Tharoor, was the first one to embrace that social media power in early 2011. And then our current prime minister said, wow, if that man in the US can do it and this man in Thiruvananthapuram can do it, why can't I do it? And he went all out to build an entire campaign in 2014-19 using the power of social media.
Yeah.
And today, there's no politician worth their name who can afford to ignore being on social media platforms. Even the smallest MLA in a little rural part of India wants to be on social media in one way or the other. So I wrote that, which you read online, a few years ago when I had a deep interest in making a career in political communication. I've not given up that interest at all, but I've parked it for now for a couple of reasons. One main reason being that life of being in political communications is much more taxing than the world of business communications.
Mm-hmm.
Because politicians only have time for planning after midnight when they've done with their rallies, their campaigns in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for a politician for 6 months in 2014. My time with him would be between 12, 30 in the night and 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And then at 4, we would all go to bed, rest for the day and come back at 9 again to start our day. So sometimes it's a choice for us to make. If you want to be in that field in India, especially, there is no time. Everything is erratic and I would say some amount of indiscipline when it comes to doing these things as well. So I parked that for now, but I'm open. I'm 43.
I'm sure.
I feel I'm going to work till I'm 73 if I'm alive. So 30 years. So I have another 15, 20 years to explore that in the future.
You have lots of time. So my next question, I'm going to want to move to your book. You're the co-author of a book titled The Pursuit of Reputation.
Right.
I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to check out Amit Prabhu's book. I will also go and check it out. So Amit, tell me about your book. What was your hypothesis when you wrote it? And very briefly, you spoke about the four C's. So tell me about the four C's as well.
I will. So this goes back to the lockdown days in 2020. Late 2020 and early 2021, all of us were sitting at home doing nothing, waiting for the grocery store to open for 2 hours, buy our groceries, come back and continue working. So we all had a lot of time. Our travel time had reduced, our meeting time had reduced. We had time. And I was wondering, what do I do in this time? And I always felt I should write a book, but I was procrastinating and delaying the idea. And three things happened one after the other in January or February of 2021. Mm. I had a journalist friend who sadly passed away last year. His name is Anant Rangaswamy. Mm. He and I would talk every month. And he called me one day saying, hey, why is there no decent book in Indian PR? I said, because no one has written one. He said, why don't you write one? I said, I don't feel like. I said, why? I said, I'm not motivated. He said, what do you want motivation for? Just get your pen and act together and write a book. And I was like thinking twice. 2 days later, a friend, Sujit Patil, who is now my co-author, he called me up for something and he said, hey, so much of free time, what do we do? So I said, write a book. He said, I love the idea, but I want a co-author, then I'll write a book. And I was like, find one. He said, can you be my co-author? I said, okay. And then Anand talked to me and Sujit talked in that same week. And my own interest in writing a book came all together in January 2021. And then it took us 2 months to put the building blocks of the book together. And by that time, Delta variant hit us. I got COVID myself and the book got delayed by a couple of months. But then from July 2021 to Jan, in 6 months, we wrote 9 chapters each. Then we deleted 1 chapter, so 17 chapters in the book. And we said we won't launch the book, we won't go to a publisher till COVID is over because we were keen to do a physical book launch. We were seeing a lot of boring book launches on Zoom calls and Teams calls. We said that's not fun. So we parked the book aside last January 2022 for almost a year and said it's okay, some things we'll modify later on. And then when COVID almost seemed like a distant past in 2023, we found a literary agent who found us a publisher who bought the book out in September this year. And it's done well for itself. It's a very PR-focused book. And coming back to your question on 4C, so I've built a model with 20 concepts that helps people understand what PR is. So the foundation is the PR has to have either communications or common sense or culture or campaigns. And then the layer above it is 4Cs again, which is I use the analogy of a house. I say the foundation of a house is usually steel, wood, cement, concrete. And then we go up into the house on the ground floor. We have 4 rooms, the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, and an extra room. I say the kitchen is where a lot of time is spent in the day getting things done for the family's betterment. And in PR, that is content. 50% of work in PR, and even in a home when we're not sleeping, 50% of the time somebody spends in the kitchen creating that content which is served to stakeholders. So the same thing, the food is served to important people in the house on the dining table where conversations happen. So I say that content is actually used to connect with stakeholders. And stakeholders are primarily customers and employees. And every other person the company or brand deals with a secondary stakeholder, government, communities, alumni, potential customers. And then there's a third group, which is, I call them the special group of stakeholders, special interest group, which is media and in today's time, influencers and bloggers. So I said, these are critical for PR. And the layer above that is storytelling and strategy. It all comes together. The third and fourth room on the ground floor is crisis and counsel, which we don't spend too much time on right now. But a lot of PR is about counseling brands and companies on how to behave. And a lot of times there are crises that hit brands and people manage using good content and good connect to deal with the crisis. I'll stop at that because there's much more, but we'll keep that for another day.
No, this but we are now running out of time. I do have time for one more question.
Yes.
And this question, Amit, is for the many, many, many people who will listen to our conversation. What would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of young people to take away when it comes to handling a crisis or protecting or your one's reputation?
Okay. So thanks for asking that question. There is no straight answer to that, but these are three things to take away when handling a crisis. One is, I think all young people today need to read more. The more you read about everything, you're better prepared to handle any crisis. So reading is a habit you need to really, really develop and do in some form. And the easiest challenge is read one book a month as a minimum, 12 books a year, and you're sorted. And you can read more than one, great. And a lot of people read that and read other things as well. The second thing I feel is a lot of us need to really sharpen our common sense. We all are given sense and we say common sense is not so common. I think in PR more than any other field, you need to have a lot of common sense applied in day-to-day to handle. A lot of crises can be avoided if one applies common sense in a sharp and smart way. Again, a lot of examples, we may not have time for that. So I would say read, apply common sense. And the third thing is, I feel we should have a lot of more ownership. If the crisis hits a brand that either you service as that brand being your client, or you work for the company and you may say, oh, I'm only in this company for some time. I think if the brand is an honest brand and something went wrong, ownership is critical. So reading and ownership go hand in hand as lifelong skills. And that will help tide over a crisis for sure.
Very interesting. And on that note, Amit, and your three wonderful lessons, read more to be better prepared to handle anything. Number two, you said sharpen one's common sense. And third one you said was much more ownership is needed. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of public relations and reputation management. And thank you for speaking to me about your book, The Pursuit of Reputation. Thank you again and good luck.
Thank you for having me, Ashutosh. I'm glad I was here and I hope people viewing or listening to this will find some use and benefit from this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.